Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Conquer everything and compromise nothing. This show brings you real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. If you have never liked small talk and have been on a personal growth journey for a long time, stay tuned as Martinet and her guests share empowering stories. Now is the time to own your past and look toward your future with hope. Believe in your dreams, and all that you want to achieve is possible. Transformation Coach Martinet helps you accept and love you for you. It's time to listen to your heart and tap into your unlimited potential. You have the answers you need inside. Sometimes you just need the right guide to help allow transformation to happen. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. Happy Friday, everybody. And I don't know about you, but it's very beautiful, but I'm blessed to be working at home because, boy, we've got snow everywhere. My guest and I were just talking about just getting our dogs out before the show and weather and all that. And sometimes it's like, oh, yikes. But it's beautiful, and we're blessed to do what we do. So without further ado, welcome back, Evelyn Knight, my friend, my colleague. We work together as well. And we want to talk about the way that we are raised, the way that just the way we're treated, just how this forms us before age 5. So welcome, Evelyn. So happy to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah, it's probably my biggest passion in life is really helping people to understand how the early years impact us for the rest of our life. In fact, 90% of the brain is actually formed in the first 5 years of life. So, and the most important parts of us, our executive brain functions, are actually formed before the age of 6. So how you show up in the world today was actually taught to you before you even turned 6 years old. Right. And your ability to have a job, your time management, coping, how you get along with others, how you problem solve, all happened in the first 5 years of your life. And so it's just so profound to me how important it is. So that is my life mission, is to help people to see that and to increase in awareness, and also just to create environments that are better for children and that help them to form those executive brain functions on a more stable level so they can grow up to be successful adults.
Absolutely. And we need that. You know, I think about my own life and just what you're saying right now. And this is something that was taught to me a while back. And I'm not sure I grasped it like I do now. Mm-hmm. But if I think about how my tendency to want to hide, especially in certain circumstances, yep. You know, where I'm having to really get out of my comfort zone, or having to perhaps have we call it in my community more of a carefrontation than a confrontation, but it's still some way you get to put yourself out there. I find myself wanting to either hide under my desk, go into one of my closets, because that's what I did as a kid. I would hide, literally, not be seen.
Yep.
So we have different stories, but we both went through some difficult times. How did your life start out, and how do you look at your life right now and the things you've had to overcome to get where you are now?
You know, it's really interesting, and I love that you asked that, because even if we look at how did our life start, right, from the time of even inception, or the stories that we hear about our birth, that all still affects us psychologically in knowing how we started. And I know for me, my mother had a very difficult delivery. And as a young child, she would tell me all the time about how difficult it was. So as a child, knowing that my presence coming into this world was difficult always made me feel like I was difficult, and that I was like, it was difficult to deal with me. It was difficult to have to put up with me because it's kind of ironic. We tell these stories and not even realize my mom didn't mean anything by it. She mm-hmm. wasn't being mean at all. She was literally just telling me the story of my birth, mm-hmm. but it sent messages to little Evelyn, that it was you know, I cause problems, and even my entrance into the world was a problem. So therefore I must be a problem.
Right.
Yep. And we all do it to our children. We, unintentionally, we love our children more than anything, but how children interpret things ends up becoming internalized. And then we create these stories about ourselves, about who we are, based on situations like that. And then as we become adults, those are the stories that become, that really hold us back and who we convince ourselves we are.
Right, right. That, yeah, you know, a couple of things come to my mind. One of them, what you're saying, like, yes, we do things to our children. And I think with my second daughter, and it's more of a joke, at least that's how she seems to always take it that way. But she was the hardest delivery, most pain I've had in my life. And yeah, she knows that. But I've also said, just looks like one of the blessings, you know, after having a child anyway, you know, even the pain that you go through, once you see that baby, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you may still have some hurt, but it's just like, oh my God, wow. Yeah. You know, this is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. And, you know, I think with certain circumstances that happened in my life and the fact that I was not protected, I was not stood up for, these are things that still bother me at times. Like, what about me? Like, huh? Well, I can fight for me now. Maybe I couldn't then.
Yeah,
I know that's something that I've had to work on my entire life. Like, hey, I am important too. Yeah, you don't want to hear what I have to say. My stop crying, shut up. You know, I mean, all these things that went on.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I had to overcome. And, but I will look at it now, like, you know, those things with my kids.
Yeah.
I really watched myself like, oh, okay, I know how I felt. I don't want them to not feel heard, not understood, not pushed off, you know?
Yes, yes. And it's really profound if, when you really look at yourself. Like for me, I have been a person who I haven't been able to stand up for myself most of my life. Mm-hmm. And I realized one day, the thought that really, like the epiphany literally that I had was, I so easily become everybody around me's punching bag. And I do. I just take the blows and take the blow. Well, I did, I should say.
Yeah.
And it was just people treated me badly, but it's because I taught them to treat me badly. And I realized it was just this epiphany I had. I remembered the moment it happened. And I was a young child. I was probably maybe 5 years old, maybe 4 to 5. And my mother had left us with my dad, and my dad was an abusive alcoholic. And he was good sometimes, but every now and then when he would get drunk, and it was probably on a monthly basis, he would just lose it. And so it wasn't out of the ordinary for my mom to leave us home with my dad. And normally he did a good job. Yeah. But this one time, it's so crazy because I can remember it so vividly. I can even smell the smells. He reached for a bottle of scotch. And I just remembered asking him, Daddy, please don't drink that. You get really mean when you drink that. And mommy left me alone with you and I'm scared. And he just turned to me and said, oh, you're just such a bother. I wish you weren't even here. Just go away. And the words that he used, and it went on. It wasn't just that. It's just like, God, if I didn't have to deal with you, things would be easier.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. It just broke me that day. And I did run away and I hid and I internalized it. And in that moment, I literally took this deep breath and I took the pain I was feeling and shoved it down inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I actually remember the child me thinking, oh, that's all I have to do to make those yucky feelings go away. And I literally lived 30 years of my life doing that. Actually more than 30 years, between 30 to 40 years of my life, just sucking in the pain and letting people abuse me that way. And now I know. And it's like, I actually had to go through processes to let that out. So yeah, for me, becoming that person who is used, it happened in just that moment. It created that in me to be that person who allowed people to talk to me badly, to just take it all on and just to become that. And because I was a safe place for people to be verbally abusive, it just became who I was, somebody that people verbally abused. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of work for me to recognize that. And it was, and it still is extremely difficult for me to finally speak my truth and stand up for myself. It's just like my brain automatically goes to, gosh, if I tell them how I feel, if I do not just take what they're giving me, they're all going to leave me. Mm-hmm. And it just, it literally went back to that moment, yes. That my dad sent that message to me.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm so familiar. It, you know, different scenarios, but even when, the first man that molested me and I told my parents about it and, they didn't do anything. Yeah. They decided that, the wife of the person who did this was more important than me because he was going to die. I guess he had just been diagnosed or something with a cancer. Yeah. And they didn't want her to know that she was married to a monster. So they choose that. And then, and I just thought, well, I must not be worth anything.
Yeah.
Nobody stands up for me. No one protects me. So I remember a really pivotal moment like that as well. It makes you just, it makes you small. It makes you feel like you're not worth anything. It makes you feel like, well, I guess if somebody won't stand up for me as a little person like this, then what good am I like the rest of my life? And you carry it in, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So we're going to take a break, but I'd like to come back and just see, even like you had this pivotal moment and you've done a lot of work. And how did that lead you to now serving?
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Is your goal to get healthy and strong? Do you feel good in your body? Visit Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. They have served the community Ethiopian, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free food for the past 18 years. Owner Zion Tedessa also founded Sheba Farms, where she grows a gluten-free grain called teff. Zion is also the founder of Shasha Monet Institute for Alternative Holistic Natural Medicine. For more information, visit queensheba's.com. That's Queen, SHEBAS.com.
New year, new home. If a new home is on your list of resolutions, now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Dobie Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today, 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Holds you back from achieving your goals? What if you could break through those barriers and attain more than you thought possible? A certified Jack Canfield Success Principles trainer, Jackie Long is also certified in NLP, breakthrough coaching, master coaching, and mentor coaching. She customizes programs for your specific individual, group, and retreat needs. Go to jackielong.com for more information. That's jackielong.com. Are you an entrepreneur who's feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or anxious? Join Casey Singh, a certified life coach, on a journey of self-discovery. Tap into your inner wisdom and uncover your unique gifts, passions, and purpose. For a limited time only, get a copy of Casey's book, Go From Your Head to Your Heart, when you visit tuneintoyourheart.com. Take the first step and start living your most authentic life. Visit tuneintoyourheart.com today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. If you're just tuning in, my guest today is Evelyn Knight, and we're talking about how things that happen to us, the way we are raised, situations in our life before age five can just really shape our whole lives. And we've been sharing our stories about that. And I asked Evelyn right before we left that how did what she went through and the healing that she's done brought her to where she is now, where she helps young people and has a whole revolution going on to help young people.
Absolutely. So kind of backing up a little bit, I do want to stress that all of childhood and even really early adulthood does shape, and that goes into our subconscious and we become mm-hmm. these things, right? But early childhood is so, so vitally important because that's where we're learning the skills to deal with it. Right. So that's where that is. But as for how it shaped me, one thing that many people don't know about themselves is we really choose our life path based on our childhood trauma and the things that happen to us. We are always working towards resolution. Your brain is mm-hmm. always trying to find this resolution. And so we're always trying to like nurture that inner child. So for me, mm-hmm. I chose a career path that would show children unconditional love because mm-hmm. I didn't get all the unconditional. My mother was a very loving woman, but my mother was also under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And she had, there was a few of us, and my dad was extremely abusive, both physically and verbally. My mom is actually from Honduras. Mm-hmm. And so culturally, women are taught to just take it. But she was very depressed. So even though she was very loving, her life was horrific. And her depression made it that I often didn't feel loved as a child. Right. And I felt so alone. So my mission in life has become to make sure that a million children receive the love that they deserve. Yes. And at first, I didn't know my mission would be so big. And mm-hmm. so I opened childcare centers, and I didn't mm-hmm. realize that that's why, because I so desperately want to make sure children get loved, especially mm-hmm. in those early years. That's when you're learning to be loved and how to love. Yes. And now I know, because of the work I've done on myself, that I knew how to love, and I always have, but I didn't know how to receive love. So I never felt loved. And so it became my mission in life to help children feel loved because of what I did not feel at the time. And now that I'm aware and I know, okay, this is the inner child wound that I'm healing, I was able to really grab it. And now I'm running with it. And now my mission is to make sure 1 million children receive love. And the way I do that is I have started my own childcare centers with preschools, childcare centers, and love and nurturing and really giving children that really strong foundation for their social emotional skills, for those executive brain functions. That's what everything revolves around for me. I now teach owners around the world how to do the same. I teach people all around the world how to put children first and still have a successful business, because owners deserve mm-hmm. to make a good living too.
Of course.
They deserve it as much as anyone else, but the children deserve the best possible quality care and love. Yes. And that's my mission and my goal. And I actually just started a new division that we're going to actually help people who have the same kind of passion that I do mm-hmm. establish and open childcare centers so that we can make sure that there's more and more and more places where children are receiving that love. And nice. I can tell you, just to paint a picture of the average child's day here in the United States right now, and this may not be your children, but this is what I see in my experience of caring for over 1,000 children. Mm-hmm. The average parents are very busy right now. They are trying their best to do their absolute best, and it takes a lot of work. And so what we see a lot of times is a parent will drop off their child at 6-7 a.m. Mm-hmm. The child is with us all day while the parent goes to work. The parent picks them up from work and they run straight to the soccer field or the baseball field, or they're at cheer practice or gymnastics, whatever it is. And then the family runs home. They try to get whatever dinner that they possibly can quickly and easily. Then the kids take a bath and then they go to bed. And then the next day it happens again. And it happens again. Now the weekend comes. parents are exhausted. They have been on this roller coaster ride with their child all week long. But while their child is with me at my childcare center, the parents are working and they're trying to run and get everything done that they can. And so they're frazzled and they're exhausted. But now the weekend is here and they have to do laundry, clean the house, get all the grocery shopping done. And now there's also extended family. Our extended family is, well, when are you going to go see grandma? When are you going to see aunts and uncles? And so you're trying to fit all this in to the weekends. But my question is, and what I realized was, when are children getting loved? When is anybody just sitting with them, nurturing them, being there for them? They are caught in this cycle of frenzy and they've literally been forgotten. And parents are doing all of this because they want what's absolutely best for their children. And we've kind of created a society where a lot of parents don't have a choice. They have, we have to work. But it's really created this perfect, I don't know, it's like this firestorm where children are not getting the time they need just to have that loving adult sit with them to play. There is nothing more important in a child's life than getting on the floor and playing with them.
Yes.
But I don't know very many parents who have time to do that. So my programs, that's what we revolve around. I understand that parents are just, we have crippled parents in the United States right now. And so that's what we do. We make sure that we're filling that gap. It's a huge gap. And I want to be there to make sure that those children are getting love, that somebody is sitting down with them. It can't be all about the academics, because we can build the smartest children in the world. But if they're not mentally okay, what's going to happen? So that is where we come in. And that is my mission and my goal, is to bring childcare programs that not are only educating them on the preschool and getting them ready, but also really intentionally showing these children the love they need in order to develop and become the best socially, emotionally grounded people that they possibly can.
Yes. Yes. And you know, what I keep thinking about was your first TED Talk, right? And you were talking about kids having, like, you were talking to children in your center, like, well, you know, what'd you get for Christmas? Well, I got this, but I haven't even played with it yet.
Yes.
That is so sad.
It was, I forget the timeline, but it was, as I felt, I thought for sure I knew it was March, but then I was like, wait, no, I think it was the late snow. But it happened a few years ago, and this is when, like, the light bulb went off in me. And because I was the mom too, who thought I had to get my child to every event and I had to, you know, I thought we all did that once, but I had a group of children. It was a snow day here in Nevada and I live in Northern Nevada. So we did have a snow day and, our schools were on a 2-hour delay. And, so the children had gone to school and now my buses went and picked up children like kindergartners and first graders after school. And they arrived at my childcare center. Well, I was also arriving. As they were coming in, I was going in the building. One of the little boys ran out and he was so excited. And he said to me, Miss Evelyn, I am so excited. It was a snow day.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's amazing. That's awesome. I'm so glad you got a snow day. He's like, no, but you don't understand. I finally got to open my Legos I got for Christmas and I got to play with them. And it was just a shot to my heart. I thought, here we were months after Christmas and this child only now got to open his Christmas present that he's been so excited about. But what really, really resonated with me is as soon as he was saying it, the other children started chiming in with the same stories. The same situations, the same, I know I finally got, I did. And I just realized, oh my gosh, these children don't even get time to play with their toys. And that is literally how the human brain grows.
Yes.
Humans grow through play. And that's when I just had this complete paradigm shift within myself and that something needs to be done. This is not okay. These children are not properly developing if they don't have time to play. It is just Dr. Peter Gray, for anybody who wants to research this, is amazing and has done studies on thousands of children and really illustrates the importance of play in humans. He's studied different societies and different cultures at the same time of how humans develop. And we literally learn everything through play. And that's how we develop as humans. And so taking that away from children is literally stunting their cognitive growth. Mm-hmm. And that day when I saw that, I just knew I have to do something. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it was consciously born in me and where I really started taking the bull by the reins and just going with this mission that I'm on.
Yeah, I love that. And it's just great how these examples come in when they just like further you along. You know you're going in this direction, but then there's like, oh, more reiterations like, okay, I'm on the right path. You know. Oh yeah. I remember I've been a mother for 24 years, you know, and there were a lot of times where I would just pull everything out and we would just sit on the floor. We would play. Didn't mean I wasn't dragging them to events and stuff. I was, but I do remember doing those things and it was just fun for my own mama heart, you know, as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break again, everyone. So please join us back in a couple minutes here and we'll talk more about early childhood.
Is on your list of resolutions, now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Dobie Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today, 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Are you an entrepreneur who's feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or anxious? Join Casey Singh, a certified life coach, on a journey of self-discovery. Tap into your inner wisdom and uncover your unique gifts, passions, and purpose. For a limited time only, get a copy of Casey's book, Go From Your Head to Your Heart, when you visit tuneintoyourheart.com. Take the first step and start living your most authentic life. Visit tuneintoyourheart.com today. Holds you back from achieving your goals? What if you could break through those barriers and attain more than you thought possible? A certified Jack Canfield Success Principles trainer, Jackie Long is also certified in NLP, Breakthrough Coaching, Master Coaching, and Mentor Coaching. She customizes programs for your specific individual, group, and retreat needs. Go to JackieLong.com for more information. That's JackieLong.com.
New year, new home. If a new home is on your list of resolutions, now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Dobie Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today, 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Evelyn Knight, and we were talking about early childhood education. And I remember as a brand new mom, and I was determined. I was a paralegal in the corporate world. I was going to go right back to work. Well, when I saw my first daughter, there's no way I was going, and I was going to start developing something on my own, which I did. But I do know the importance of a good child care center because my first daughter was just wanted to be with mama. It wasn't a problem or an issue, and I could be and still do some work. But my youngest daughter needed much more social, much more play, and she wasn't happy with the things like that we would do around the house or what I could tailor around work. She really needed to be in a good place. And the center that I went to was phenomenal, and it was the teachers.
Yes.
she loved it. She loved to go, and she was happy when she came home too, but she really loved to go. So I remember one teacher that I will never forget ever, just how she good she was with Lindsay, because Lindsay had some digestive issues. She had problems. We didn't know how allergic she was to soy until we found out, but a lot of problems that we had. And she was just so good, so loving, so kind, and just a nurturing, loving encourager. So how is it with even your programs? How do you find the right people? I know there's a lot of testing and a lot of trainings that you do. Like how do you know who to, like, what are you looking for specifically, and how do you determine?
So one of the things I train on for owners out there, and I actually have a lot of different business owners that approach me on this, because I've created a model where, and it's something I just did. I don't know. I had to actually kind of step back and study myself. Like, I tend to have very great retention in a field that retention is horrible. In childcare, the industry as a whole, retention is usually about 6 months. It's awful. But my retention is right now around 7 years. And I've had people with me who've been with me since I opened. But I realized that, and honestly, this can work in any field, it's not just childcare. But when I hire people, I don't care what a resume looks like, and I never have. I don't care how much education you have, how much experience. What I care about is who you are. So I'm really looking at a person's character and their values. I hire based on those two things. I really want to know, where is your heart? What is your passion? Because if you don't have a heart for children, you could have the greatest resume I have ever seen. But if your heart doesn't belong to those children, then I can't turn you into a great teacher. Right. Now, on the other hand, I can have a girl straight out of high school with zero experience, zero education. But when I see that she truly loves children and she's extremely passionate, I can get her an education. I can get her, I can mentor her her way through a degree, and I can train her on how to be a teacher. But I cannot change who a person is at the core. So that is my number one. That's my technique. I've just, my education background is in psychology. So I created some interview questions over the years, as I've been hiring people now for about 16 years. And I've just through trial and error have really created some questions and scenarios as well that really shows me who a person is, who they're, I want to see your heart. That's what I want. And that's really the key, because I'm the owner, and yes, the culture, the brand is all me, but the heartbeat of a childcare center are the teachers. They really are. And a lot of times, like, I was in the same boat as you, when my oldest son, I thought my child was never going to daycare's like, one thing too, is no one's allowed to call my childcare center a daycare. To me, daycare is a dirty word. That is what the stereotype, you know, of you drop it, they're glorified babysitters, really. And there are a lot of them out there. But that's why I refer to my center as a preschool or childcare center, because we are not a daycare. But I had that thought in my head. That's what I saw the industry as. I saw it as this place where children were basically just babysat and farmed and poor quality. But I had a similar experience with my oldest. He was so used to just being with me, his dad, and it was just adults all the time. So the first time he had the opportunity to have a play date with someone his own age, it was actually a couple years older than him. He didn't know what to do, and he hid under the table the whole time, because he didn't even know how to be around another child. And he was 3 years old at the time. And so that's when I realized, oh my gosh, this is not healthy. I've got to do something. Well, my nephew had been going to a childcare center, and I talked to my sister-in-law on the phone, and she said, hey, you know, if you find a good place, and she kind of coached me on how to do something, but I was so insecure about it that I got a job working at the child center.
I can see that.
I did not trust them with my baby. And I thought, if I'm going to take my son, I am really going to get to know these people. I am really going to get deep inside. And that's when I learned about the industry. And mm-hmm. I learned to love it and to hate it at the same time. I mm-hmm. saw the ugly side of it. And that's why I decided to develop my own programs, because I was able to eliminate the things that I really didn't like that weren't good enough for my own child. And I knew if it wasn't good enough for my own child, this is not what I'm giving to other children.
Right.
So there are some amazing places out there, but I would caution parents, because there are some that aren't as well. Mm-hmm. But there are some pretty easy things you can do to vet a child care center. And for if anyone out there is an owner, or if your child isn't a child care center and you know somebody who doesn't fit some of the things I'm about to say, have them listen. And this is what mm-hmm. I actually help. This is what I help owners create, is those environments that are best for the children. But for parents out there, there's two tips that I give that you can look at really quick. If you want to know in less than 30 seconds if your child care center is high quality, there's two things that you can look at. First of all, when you're looking at the classrooms, look at where things are placed on the wall. I know that seems crazy, but it is. It really is. Are they up high? And so, like a rule of thumb, are they above 5 feet? Do you see posters and artwork that's like higher up on the wall, or is it lower? Everything should be on the child's level.
Yes, the
classroom is about the children. And the biggest mistake I see is you're going to find child care centers that are either about the adults or about the children. They either care about what the parents think and pleasing the teachers, and or they care about what is best for the children. A child care center that knows how to, who doesn't have behavior problems, who knows about child development, and who is really in it for the children, their displays on the wall are going to be at their level, so the children can walk up and look at them. The second thing is, look at how the classroom is situated. If there's a bunch of furniture up against the wall and you've got these big open rooms, they don't know what they're doing. A classroom should, if you get on your knees, it should actually look like a bunch of little rooms instead of one big room, where you can literally only have 3 to 4 children playing in each little section. So to you, to us as adults, it's going to look kind of cluttered, and it's going to look like there's things all over the place. But to a child, it looks like it's a bunch of little tiny rooms, and those are called interest areas. Mm-hmm. And you should have enough interest areas so that there's only 3 to 4 children in each interest area at any given time. So those are the two really quick things you can look at to see if they put children first.
Oh, I like that. That's really good. I mean, just the pictures alone, just like, oh God, that completely makes sense.
Yeah.
My gosh, it's supposed to be for them.
It's,
you know? Yeah.
Yep. And then,
When did Little Knights and Maidens start? I know that was your first center, and that seems so long ago.
Yes. I had a home center before Little Knights and Maidens, and I started mm-hmm. that in 2006. And then Little Knights and Maidens actually started in 2008 when I actually opened my first child care center. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And how was that? Like, how did you feel about that? Were you, I mean, obviously excited, you're starting this business, but how did that transition from so small to an actual
It is so stressful. And I can tell you that it's part of the reason I started my other company, Child Care Business Professionals, is because mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I knew what I was doing. I had been in management before. I had owned other companies, and I'd done it, and my husband had owned some stuff, and we thought we knew what we were doing. I was mm-hmm. great at running household finances. And I knew children. I knew early childhood education. I had been a teacher. I had been mm-hmm. an infant toddler director. I'd been in the field, but I had no idea what it meant to be an owner. I had no clue, and I almost failed. I actually came so close to bankruptcy that I had an eviction notice on my door at one point.
So scary.
It was so scary. And I was able to pull it out. I mean, I basically had to admit to myself one day that I didn't know what I was doing as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And so I sought out to learn. And what I realized is, and what happens with the owners of businesses is we have this passion, and we fall mm-hmm. in love with something, and we want more of it. So we open businesses. Mm-hmm. And we think we're going to be great. I was a great teacher. I was a great director. I was great with the children. So I thought I'd be a great owner. Mm-hmm. But I knew nothing about running a business. So when I hit the point where I knew I was either going to go bankrupt, and it was literally that do or die, I basically hired my first business coach. And mm-hmm. I realized I needed to educate myself. And so I did. I read so many books. I joke that I gave myself an MBA because I studied so much business. Right. And so that's where I started Child Care Business Professionals. I decided to help other owners. I realized my entire field is 80% of us are the way I was. And that's mm-hmm. why it's such a huge rate of bankruptcy in early childhood education, is because we don't know. We're not business people. So now I educate owners on the business they need to know to have successful mm-hmm. child care centers. And that's why I want to help new and aspiring owners to make sure that they start right just from the get-go. That way they don't have the struggles that I had, and they don't lose all the money. And it's so much, just from managing people to your finances. There's just so much you don't know, and that I had no idea I didn't know.
Right. And, you know, just working with you the short time that I have, it's only been, well, 5 months, something like that. But just the fact of just being in business myself, what we need is support.
Yes.
And just like you have talked about before on TED Talk and other things and everything, is like, you know, our husbands don't want to hear it. Sometimes our friends don't want to hear it. What you need is a group of people that are in the same field as you are, where you can brainstorm and mastermind and all that. And that's what Child Care Business Professionals is about.
We do. And yes. Yeah. I mean, I have some brilliant owners in there too, who are awesome business people, but mm-hmm. they felt really alone, and they just wanted to be in a community of like-minded people who support them. And that's mm-hmm. another thing we bring. That's just another layer to what we bring, is just that you don't have to be an island. And I felt that way once. I felt mm-hmm. so alone, but it doesn't have to be that way.
No. And there are other people that, you know, in the community that can just be like, you know what, I know how you feel, and hey, let's figure this out together. And that's everything.
Everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to be, well, we're taking another break here, but we'll be back in just a moment with final thoughts. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone.
Are you an entrepreneur who's feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or anxious? Join Casey Singh, a certified life coach, on a journey of self-discovery. Tap into your inner wisdom and uncover your unique gifts, passions, and purpose. For a limited time only, get a copy of Casey's book, Go From Your Head to Your Heart, when you visit tuneintoyourheart.com. Take the first step and start living your most authentic life. Visit tuneintoyourheart.com today.
New year, new home. If a new home is on your list of resolutions, now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Dobie Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today, 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Holds you back from achieving your goals? What if you could break through those barriers and attain more than you thought possible? A certified Jack Canfield Success Principles trainer, Jackie Long is also certified in NLP, Breakthrough Coaching, Master Coaching, and Mentor Coaching. She customizes programs for your specific individual, group, and retreat needs. Go to JackieLong.com for more information. That's JackieLong.com. Is your goal to get healthy and strong? Do you feel good in your body? Visit Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. They have served the community Ethiopian, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free food for the past 18 years. Owner Zion Tedessa also founded Sheba Farms, where she grows a gluten-free grain called teff. Zion is also the founder of Shasha Monet Institute for Alternative Holistic Natural Medicine. For more information, visit queenshebas.com. That's queen, SHEBAS.com.
Welcome
back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet. And we've been talking with Evelyn Knight, my guest, and early childhood education. And for those of you that do have child care centers or want a child care center, she has the team. And I'm part of that team. I'm happy to say that we are here to help you run your center, learn finances, connect with others, get support, especially on those days where you're just overwhelmed. You know, yeah. It's wonderful to have that team to reach out to. So, Evelyn, what's going on right now in the childcare business professionals, and what do we have going on to offer to help other people?
Well, I actually want to, before I tell you what my current, you just made me think of something. One of the biggest things that I like to offer, and one thing that really makes me stand out, because there's a lot of business coaches out there, is that one of my biggest concern is mental health. And I think it's just, that's why you and I resonate so well together.
Yeah.
Again, my education is in psychology, but I decided I kind of wanted to do it a little bit backwards, where I kind of started wondering, why do we fix broken adults instead of helping children to not, you know, just basically let's do it right the first time.
Yes.
And no matter what, I know there's going to be issues. None of us are perfect and things happen. But I actually too went and became a certified life coach, kind of using my psychology. I just kind of like the philosophy of life coaching a little bit better than, or even just that positive psychology. So basically I incorporate that into my business coaching. I have an understanding now that in order to be successful in anything in life, it really starts with your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, just the weight loss, whatever it is you're doing, it's all up here. I'm actually somebody who's lost 150 pounds and I couldn't do it until I became well. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing with my business. I couldn't turn it around until I became well. So when I'm working and coaching people, I really also have a component that helps your mental health. And it really just, we work on your thoughts and how to reframe our thinking in order to be successful. So it's something we really do work on a lot, along with just the basic business knowledge, because it's the marriage of the two that will make you successful. So I just wanted to add that as well, because it is just life coaching and just your mental health is so, so vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, what I'm working on right now is my building blocks program, which is helping new owners who are potential owners. Like if you own a home childcare program and you want to transition into a childcare center, one of my other passion projects right now, I'm doing another TED talk coming up and speaking, the topic I'm speaking on is really having something for you. And going back to the time that I was a stay-at-home mom and I really just needed something for me. I needed to be more than just mom and wife, and I wanted a career. And I had actually quit my job at the child care center at the time when my second baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt so like I was losing my identity. So there's a lot of moms out there who I'm sure you're home and you want something different. And we see a lot of people trying multi-level marketing companies and different things. So now I really want to help just more women own their life and become business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And I am doing that through childcare centers. So I actually have an event coming at the end of this month that will be focused on helping women launch childcare centers and men. It doesn't matter to me whether you're a man or a woman who wants to just my passion now is to help more owners become owners, help you into that ownership. So if you have a home center that you want to establish a child care center, or even if you want to start a home-based center, that's awesome too. If the building blocks that we'll be doing with you will actually help you to start the process of going through that journey. And so we're doing a free seminar March 31st through and April 1st that's going to be leading people on those beginning steps to ownership.
That's totally exciting. So
When you had your, you know, your home daycare, and then you went to Little Knights and Maidens and everything, it's scary. What do you say with someone who's like, oh my God, can I really do that?
Yeah. Yes, you can. And you're worth it. That's what I would absolutely say. If you know that you're being called to something bigger in life, but you're scared, I have to say you're worth it. Do it for you. I do a Facebook and YouTube show. It's my every Monday morning. It's my mindset Monday. And this coming one that I'm speaking on is actually that topic, is that sometimes we feel like we're not worthy of our dreams, or that our dreams are too big for us. But it's not true. Again, it's kind of going back to the beginning of our conversations, questioning the stories that you were told as a child that you believe today about you. Yes, it's hard. It is really hard, but you're worth hard things. Mm-hmm. And you're strong enough to do hard things. As long as you stop believing those stories that were planted in your head that aren't true. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. If somebody's dreamt of owning a business and childcare sounds like, I could do this because now I can be with my children. I can still have this for me. It's a way to be successful and still be there all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why childcare was perfect for me. I just so badly wanted to be a great mom and a great wife, but I wanted to be with my children. And owning childcare centers made it so that they were with me all the time. They basically work with me. And it was a great, and it just helps me to bring so much more to the world. And I knew that they were getting everything they needed. So many of you who have the dream, you can do it. You can absolutely do it. Believe in yourself. And we will come alongside you, lift you up, help you every step of the way. And that's part of the mental health part. I help you believe in you, and help you to really unravel that potential that you have inside of you, and to see that when we have a calling, it's bigger than just a calling. It's a purpose. And it really, it's our responsibility to the world to step into our purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can, you know, vouch for all of this. And it's not just because Evelyn is my friend and has been for 20 years being a part of this business and being a mother myself. I see the support that goes on inside the community. It's there. And also, just as a life coach myself, and have been for years, is that, yeah, it's hard to step out of that comfort zone and to take these steps into your life, but you are worth it. And the thing is, you have evidence. You have other things that you have accomplished. So many other things that you've accomplished. And if it helps you to make a list of those things, do it.
Yes.
And even if, like, you're going through a hard time, or you have a hard time getting things started, also go over everything that you have accomplished already, everything you've survived already.
Yes.
That helps tremendously, just to push you out there, like, hey, I have done this. I have succeeded. I have survived. I can do it.
It's
final
funny.
Thoughts.
I keep this little post-it note on my monitor, and it's actually four questions from Katie Byron. Mm-hmm. And it basically, whenever you're facing one of those situations where it's like, I just can't do that, I ask myself, because I still have major imposter syndrome issues. Mm-hmm. So whenever it comes up, I ask myself these four questions from Katie Byron. Is it true? Can I be absolutely sure it is true? How do I react when I believe this is true? And those, I know there's a question I'm missing on my post-it note, but those are the three, those out of the four, those are the ones I ask myself every time I'm trying to tell myself I'm not good enough for something, or I can't, or anything like that. And when you go through those questions, it's suddenly like, you know what? The evidence does show different. I can do this. It isn't true. And it's really empowering and wonderful when you really just step back and question your reality and realize that those stories you tell yourself aren't true.
Yeah. I was just even sharing just today with another entrepreneur that, you know, we often just step from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. We got to stop and celebrate.
Yes.
You know, we talked about that with your TED talk. It's like, oh, well, it's okay. I already have another one coming. No, we got to celebrate the first one.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And that was last week's Mindset Monday for me. I talked about how I, it's never good. It's like the accomplishments are never good enough. Yep. So, Totally. Just again, it's the same kind of wounding as the opposite, where you feel like you can't. Sometimes you feel like it's not enough when you do. So yes, just two of the same things on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes, absolutely. And quickly, even though it's listed, where can people find you?
You can find me, I'm everywhere, but if you want to go to www.childcarebusinessprofessionals.com, that is my website, and then linktree/Evelynite, you will find all my social medias.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much,
Evelyn. Thank you.
So appreciate you and your wisdom and just what you do in this world for children. Appreciate you. Thank you everyone so much for tuning in. We'll see you next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific.
Thank you for tuning in to Transformation with Martinet. Real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. Listen or watch live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As Martinet and her guests have deep, meaningful conversations, sharing empowering stories. Step into your passions and lead with your heart. If you are ready to accept and love you for you, visit martineemmons.com and start allowing transformation to happen today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.